Because although the relationships in your life will benefit from your emotional regulation, the real benefit is in your own psyche, knowing that you are in control, that you are a trustworthy captain of the ship and a fair and astute leader of the tribe, and you are merciful and just in the right balance. What's up, family? Welcome back to the Stop Sinking Show, where we go from struggle to flow. I first heard the term emotional hijacking when I read Daniel Coleman's book called Emotional Intelligence. To put it simply, it's when your emotions take over and you see red, can't see anything else, you go blind. To add more context, the amygdala is the emotional center of your brain and part of the limbic system. And the way it is structured in our brain, right after your thalamus takes in the sensory input, it sends it directly to your amygdala to first decide what to do with it. So right after it takes in what's happening, it says, hey, tell me what to do with this. This is important because of how we evolved. The speed of perceiving danger and needing to react to it was key to our survival. So there couldn't be multiple steps in the middle of that. So right after you take it in, you got to decide what to do. So your emotional center is responsible for the first pass through of what reactions you will have. Your thalamus processes the sensed fear or whatever is in front of you and then sends that quickly to the amygdala to process a quick response. I added all that context to say emotional hijacking is an ancient function in our brain designed for survival, and the very physical structure of it and its priority in receiving neural signals first means that before you actually have your rational brain play a part, and the rational brain even has a chance to process what is happening, your emotional center has probably already reacted and quickly made decisions, which may or may not have been appropriate or a match in magnitude to the fear that it provoked. Sometimes you overreact. Sometimes you make the situation worse because of the knee-jerk initial reaction that you're now stuck with. Sometimes you completely go blind to your actions and what you're saying or doing because the threat you perceived was either that great or it triggered something in you that felt like it was that great of a threat. All of this happens before your prefrontal cortex can even get a say in mediating the situation with some logic. So emotional hijacking, being taken over by anger, fear, and having that lead the interaction or reaction is a very normal thing to happen. And then to look back at that reaction in hindsight and regret it and not be able to relate to it or even have remorse for it, and almost like you feel like it wasn't even you that had that reaction, is also something that's very normal, but can be worsened and probably is worsened if we continue a tendency to take anything that's happening and exaggerate the threat than what it actually is in actuality. And that becomes a pattern of overreaction to specific triggers maybe or specific situations. Now, while this is okay to accept as a situational thing, maybe you have one emotional hijacking reaction a year. Maybe you have one every couple months and you lash out and you go blind to what's going on around you. But it becomes a problem when this limbic brain stays activated and starts leading more and more of your life than the logical brain has the chance to. And then you start living a life based off of emotional whims. If it's more regular than just once a year and a couple months where you're emotionally hijacked, then your emotions are running your life. Viktor Frankl has this quote that goes, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of all human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." That one thing you cannot take away is your choice in how you respond. And the power to choose that response, he says, the power to choose your response is in the space between the stimulus and the response. That space, that breath, that moment, that however long you must take is where your power to choose your response is. And physically, it gives your logical brain the time to catch up to your emotional brain so the signals can get passed on, so that you can almost negotiate with yourself and choose the best possible response, whatever it is in that moment. That space, that moment of pause, is where the power is. Now, if you zoom this out to overall life, it's more than just a breath or a pause in that moment or each situation, but it is trying to have enough pauses away from distractions so you can really negotiate with whether your life is being led by emotion, or are you actually solving for something that you really want out of life? Are your actions really solving for and building towards the life that you want? Over the past couple of years, I perceived so much stress that any moment I had to myself, I distracted myself with things. Sometimes those things were just entertainment. Sometimes they were educational. Constant podcasts while I'm showering, or some course or some YouTube video while I'm working out or doing some random tasks away from my desk. All this distraction, what it kept me away from was spending time with my thoughts. And that was the goal, I guess, right? I didn't want to be alone with my thoughts. But what I'm realizing now that I've spent a couple days, literally just a few days, sitting by the pool and just having conversations with myself, just in a few days, reconnecting with myself and posing some questions to myself as a form of inner inquiry, I'm realizing now that without making the sense of what I'm doing from a detached, inquisitive, introspective way, without these conversations with myself where I'm sitting by myself in the quiet, without this, I am leading a life purely based off of emotion, based off of what I'm feeling in the moment. Just the act of avoiding my thoughts and feelings makes it that my life was ruled by them anyway. Just because I wasn't letting my logical brain do the processing of what is happening. And because of that, I was letting my emotional brain then run the show and seek pleasure and avoid pain as often as possible, just stuck in survival. The pause in general, in the course of a week, to spend some time by yourself to really reflect on the consequences and directions of your actions and where they're taking you. And really negotiate with yourself and ask some real intentional questions as to the motive behind your actions, maybe. And then you will find so much more footing in the decisions you make, because then those decisions can stand through the storms of life, through your emotional undulation. Sometimes we are blinded in the moment. Our sight is seized and fixated on the faults of, or the wrongdoing of, the opposing party. And our emotions rule the reaction. Other times, we are blinded in the general sense of how we are spending our weeks, months, years, and overall life. And then the longer the pause is required for each of these to really do the reflection, so that your emotional brain isn't ruling your life and you're in the wind flying by the seat of your pants, year to year, half decade to half decade. The key to self-regulation, to see past your emotions, to take back control and pilot the ship again, you know, away from the hijackers. The key to regaining control is to pause, breathe, negotiate with yourself, ask and answer some truthful questions to yourself and about the situation and its meaning, maybe some of what you're assigning. And then if you could do all of that and then respond, at the least, you can still live with that response, because you can defend it to your own psyche because of all of that that you just considered. Because although the relationships in your life will benefit from your emotional regulation, the real benefit is in your own psyche, knowing that you are in control, that you are a trustworthy captain of the ship and a fair and astute leader of the tribe, and you are merciful and just in the right balance. You need to know this for yourself, so that you can trust in yourself to be leading you towards the life that you imagine. or else you stop trusting yourself and stop following what you ask yourself to do. The more you pause, reflect, recognize, and respond in situations and in leading your own life, the more becomes visible. The space allows you to see. I love you, family. Stay true, always. I'll see you on the next show.